Welcome to First Formation, spiritual exercise for Christian soldiers looking to get up and pray. Join Pew Pew HQ every weekday morning to hear the good news through grunts and with grunts in the unity of the Holy Spirit as one church forever and ever. Fall in.
Psalm 107, verses 1 to 16. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble, and gathered from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. They cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank to the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So he bowed their hearts with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he shattered the doors of bronze and cut in two the bars of iron. Exodus chapter 15, verses 22 to 27. Then Moses made Israel set out from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the water of Marah because it was bitter. Therefore it was named Marah. And the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a log, and he threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. There the Lord made for them a statute and a rule that he tested them, saying, "If you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God, and do that which is right in his eyes, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your healer." Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the water. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. Therefore, holy brothers who share in the heavenly calling, consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. For Jesus had been counted worthy among more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify the things that were spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, as we are his house, if it is indeed hold fast confidence in our boasting in our hope. Good morning. This is Tim Tribble, broadcasting from Sacramento, California. Today's readings come to us from Psalm 107, verses 1 to 16, Exodus chapter 15, verses 22 to 27, and Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. Today's psalm is from book 5 of the Psalms, so they're broken down into books. And then this one is entitled, "Let the Redeemed of the Lord Say So." And this is a psalm that is talking about how God redeems us, even though we don't always do what we're supposed to do. And he's redeemed us from trouble, even though we were hungry and thirsty and our souls fainted. When we cried to the Lord, he delivered them from their distress. Which is a continuation in Exodus chapter 15. So this is part of the story. They set out from the Red Sea and they went into the wilderness of Shur. Now, the desert of Shur was known as the Arabian Peninsula. This would be Saudi Arabia, today's Saudi Arabia. Probably just south of Jordan. And they've crossed the Red Sea. They're out of Egypt. And they're also out of water. So they've been in the desert for 3 days. And anybody's been out in the desert for 3 days, you get, you know, we dehydrate. What do we tell you as medics? Hydrate, 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 hydrate. You know, all the color of your pee thing, right? We've seen that for those of us who served over in either Desert Shield, Desert Storm, or the later wars in Iraq and Afghanistan out in the desert. You get dry real fast. And they're sitting there going, you know, what do we drink? They had Moses, what are we going to drink? And they grumbled against Moses. So he turned to the Lord, and the Lord showed them a log, threw it in the water, and it became sweet. And then this is where the Lord made a statute and a rule. And there he tested them, saying, if you diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his eyes, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, he will give us none of the diseases of the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your healer. This is one of the first times that we hear about God in the healing realm, and of course later Jesus becomes known as the great physician. And so then they go to Elim. And Elim is described as having 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamp there by the water. So this is also they believe to be in modern-day Saudi Arabia. It is believed that the Jabal Maqwala, M-A-Q-L-A, mountain in Saudi Arabia is Mount Sinai, that is referred to in the Old Testament. And that would mean that Elim then is located in the northwest coast of Saudi Arabia, bordering the Gulf of Aqaba. So, one of the things that I always like doing is finding where these places are. Kind of gives a little bit more of the reality to the story, that these are real places, and so leading more towards kind of, for my intellectual side, convincing, you know, that this was a real thing. And our reading from Hebrews today, so this is Paul's letter to the Hebrews. So the Hebrews were the non-Jews. And this is entitled, Jesus is Greater Than Moses. So one of the issues, and this has been a thing going on, we as Christians believe that Jesus is the Son of God, sent down to be the perfect sacrifice for our sins, therefore creating the new covenant. So they had the old Abrahamic covenant. Now we have the new covenant through Christ Jesus and his death, resurrection, and ascension. There are others who believe that Jesus was just another one of the prophets, another one of the great Jewish leaders, but not necessarily the Son of God. And so this is Paul's explanation to the Hebrew nation, to the Hebrews, saying that Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession being the new covenant, and just as he was faithful to him who appointed him, he's speaking of God, just as Moses was also faithful to all God's house, so Jesus is counted worthy of more glory than Moses. As much more glory as the builder of the house as the honor of the house himself. So what he's saying is he's using his imagery of building a house. This is the house of God. And Moses was a faithful servant to all things that were spoken, but Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. So using imagery that they would be familiar with, so of course, you have the house. So this is speaking, they're not necessarily referring to an actual physical structure. They're speaking to the family. So they're the house of, so my last name is Tribble, the house of Tribble. Okay, so this is me and my family. So you have servants and you have family members. So in here, Paul's using this imagery to say, okay, Moses, yes, Moses was great. Moses was a great servant. He was definitely very, very committed and faithful in all God's house. But Jesus is the Son, and the Son, the blood heir, is more than a servant. So my Son is more than someone who would be my servant. So this is, Paul is considered one of the first theologians in trying to explain, that's what theology is, an explanation of, okay, so what does all this mean? What do we got here? How do we do these things? And so he's stating in here very clearly that, yes, Moses was great, you know, is very, very highly regarded in the Jewish tradition, and others who know of the story of the Jews. He is considered, but he is not the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God, and that makes him higher than Moses, because the Son is higher than a servant. Just more of the details and things in the early church, because there was this thing in the very early church. Now, I'm using the term early church, I'm talking about in the first 100 years right here. So there was a lot of things that went on. There were a lot of different interpretations, just like we have today, of what does this mean? Who is this? There were followers. So that depending on who the disciple or apostle was that went out and taught and founded a congregation, usually at someone's house, they would come in, okay, so they were followers of the way Thomas taught, or the way Mark taught, or Matthew, or Paul, or, you know, disciple / apostle here. And some of them kind of got a little on the left side and the right side, and things wandered around. So then in the 300s, then we wind up having the Council at Nicaea, and Constantine's got, okay, guys, we're going to get this one thing here, and that's the way it's going to be. But before that, there was a lot of explaining, and a lot of people were interpreting what was the way. That was what it was called originally. We're not called Christians, we're called the way. What that way was. So, again, when we still have this today, we have all the different denominations. We had the Great Schism, you have the Eastern Church, the Western Church, you have the Catholic, the Orthodox, you have the Independents, the fundamentalists, and then all the different, you know, the Baptists, and all these different denominations that have come along over time, saying that, well, we believe this way of it. So, again, it's all faith in God. That's what matters. Amen.
A prayer for the unity of the church from the Book of Common Prayer. O God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, our only Savior, the Prince of Peace, give us grace seriously to lay to heart the great dangers we are in by our unhappy divisions. Take away all hatred and prejudice and whatever else may hinder us from godly union and concord, that, as there is but one body and one spirit, one hope of our calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, so we may be all of one heart and of one soul, united in one holy bond of truth and peace, of faith and charity, and may with one mind and one mouth glorify you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you for falling in to First Formation, where Pew Pew HQ shares morning prayers for the humble, hardy folk caught in the crosshairs of God and country. If you like what you've heard, you can participate in one of the three following ways. First, you can support the podcast by clicking the link in the show notes. Or, if you serve military families, subscribe to First Forward, a paid subscription feed providing commentary on Sunday lectionary texts a week in advance. Use it for sermon prep or just because you support the troops. Second, you can become a co-host by recording a lectionary reading for a future episode. Instruction will be provided, and you don't have to be a grunt to collaborate with Pew Pew HQ in this or any way. Finally, you can also record and send prayer requests of a minute or less. Prayers can be included in an episode, read anonymously if you wish, or kept private for me to pray for off of air. So there you have it. Three ways to participate in First Formation. I hope you'll continue to listen, even if I haven't convinced you to fall in. This has been Brother Logan Isaac. Always faithful, always family. Semper Familia.